Book of Matthew, chapter 13. You know, I wouldn't care in my meetings where I preach, I don't care for folks shouting at all. So if you feel like it, just go to it. I enjoy it.
Me too.
I never could. I've heard of folks, you know, trying to prime the people to shout. I've never been able to do it. I never had. There's times if I could have sprinkled some stardust on them, I'd have tried it. But I've never been able to get folks to do much of nothing they didn't want to. Huh? So I've just been dedicating my time to put the want to in them and see what happens then. Huh? I can't make you shout. Sometimes my preaching makes you wish you had them. Huh? But I can't make you shout. But I hope we can do some of it before we get through. Matthew chapter 13. I'm nervous again. That don't change much either. But we want to try to help you.
That's good. And let's
have a good time.
Yeah.
And say amen if you see me struggling and sinking and pray for me. I'll have wisdom to sink as fast as I can. Get out of the way. And let's just see if we can't get in here and have a good time. What do you say? I got this sermon I'm going to have to preach tonight, and I want the Lord to help me and say the right things. And we're going to start in Matthew 13 and verse number 24. The Bible said, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now I'm going to go now and read you the interpretation of this parable by Jesus himself over here. Amen. We'll begin reading verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world." I like the way the Lord is just laying this out for us here, don't you? "The field is the world and the children of the kingdom." The good seed are the children of the kingdom.
Yeah.
"But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." Everybody's sorted out here now. Amen. I like that. "Therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend." "And them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the son of the kingdom of their father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Praise God. It's something worth listening to, isn't it? I come to you tonight with this little sermon on my heart. And I want to look at this parable and this interpretation for a little while. And when you just look at the parable and you're looking at wheat and tares, it has some relevance, but not a lot of relevance. I mean, not a eternal relevance. But when Jesus turns the parable into real life situation, he begins to put everything in its perspective and begins to put names on these symbols, then it becomes a little more, it becomes quite a bit more sincere, doesn't it? Because you see, the wheat here that is in jeopardy because of the tares, they are real human beings. And the tares themselves are real live people. And sold there by the devil himself. And I don't know if you understand this or not. I know you do. But hey man, any lost person is a child of the devil. Well, you know, maybe you don't understand that. Praise God. According to this parable, hey man, there was only two seeds here. Wheat and tares. And the tares was sold by the wicked one. By the enemy of the souls. Praise God. And quite a bit of damage here. And when you look at it and put human beings into this field and see them being pulled up and see them being cast into the fire, hey man, it's a pretty serious, hey man, parable that we're reading to you tonight. Praise God. There's some things that I noticed about this as the Lord, hey man, I had a experience in a dream several days ago, and the Lord prompted me to come to this scripture, and I worked on it a little bit, and I put it back, and felt like I needed to preach this message tonight, and tried it out on my home church, just to try to fine tune a little bit. Hey man, then I brought it on up here. I'm going to preach to you. And here's what I want to preach to you. Hey man, you see, these tares came into this field. Hey man, and they didn't, it wasn't even noticed probably. Hey man, the next day. It wasn't really noticed at all. Hey man, until the fruit came. And the harvest had came. Nearly time for harvest. And the fruit had came out on this wheat and on this tare. And then it was noticed that somebody, amen, had there was a problem with the seed. Amen. And you know, a lot of times we don't recognize the fact that an enemy has been in our field, amen, until it's almost too late. Praise God. Come on now. And we wonder, and I've heard a lot of folks, amen, ask themselves the question, I don't understand how this could have happened. I've did this and I've did that, and I've actually heard them many different ways, and sometimes I don't understand what happened. Amen. But this parable here does clear up some things, amen, about how, amen, this bad seed, amen, got in the field of this man who all he does is sow good seed. Amen. Oh, help me just a minute. I'm going to give you my text and try to preach to you a little bit. Here's what I'm thinking. Amen. I'm asking the question, how did this happen? How, amen, did the devil get in here? That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Hi? Y'all going to help me preach a little? How did the devil get in here? Well, let's calm down here now. Give me a chance to preach a little. Y'all don't get too emotional here on me. I was up the other night. I was woke and disturbed in my sleep, Brother Collins, and I mean, it was a disturbing time. I felt the powers of hell. I would wake and in between and out, in and out of sleep. Oh, help me, Jesus. And I was in this church house, and I felt like it was my church house. You know, And I was inside the church, and I felt the powers of hell in there. And even it seemed like in the walls of that church, I could hear this voice that I put to the devil. You know, I've never heard the devil's voice. Amen. But I heard this voice from the walls. Amen. Crying out and threatening me and telling me, amen, he wanted to destroy me. Amen. And the only question I could come up with was, how did the devil get in here? Praise God. Amen. Here's a man sowing good seed. Amen. And all of a sudden this man came to the sower, the good sower. And he said, did you not sow good seed? Amen. In this field? Amen. And he said, yes. And then the Lord began to explain to him where the bad seed came from. Amen. And he said, hey, the seed. Amen. Is the wicked. Amen. And the sower of that wicked seed. Amen, is the devil. Amen. And not only did he say the devil, but he said he's the enemy of the Lord of that field, who was the Son of God himself. Amen. He said the enemy of that owner of that field, amen, came and subtly, amen, sowed that seed, amen, in that field. Help me preach a little. Amen. You say, brother, what's the point? Amen. I want to tell you, amen, if the devil has access, amen, to your field, amen, you can rest assured one thing. He's not coming in there to polish, amen, your doctrine up. He's not coming in there to help you to learn your Sunday school memory verse. Amen. He's coming for one purpose. And the Bible said he comes to kill, amen, to steal, and destroy. Amen. I think sometimes we've got so lukewarm, we don't even believe in the devil anymore. Amen. And that's pretty lukewarm. Amen. Everything's hallelujah, hunky-dory. Amen. Everything's in shape. Everything's all right. When we don't have enough discernment and spiritual vision to look around and see the devil's in the walls, and the devil's right in the church, and the devil's right in the home. And I believe we've all got enough sense to know that the devil's got in here. Amen. Here's my question. How, amen, did the devil get in here? Amen. I see holiness people, amen, that come to church and sit on the front pew, and their children on the back pew, looking like something off of a teen magazine. And I want to ask the question, how did the devil get in here? And we'll stand and testify and cry, I don't know what went wrong. I brought my children to church. I taught them the way, and I've always lived good, and that is good to say, and it may even be true, but I do know this, the devil's got in somehow, and we better find out where he's getting in, praise God. Let me preach to you a little bit, if I can. Praise God. How? Now, you've got to understand, the devil is not going to draw some squares out and play hopscotch with you. It's not patty cake, baker man. He's not going to come into your life and into your church and on the pew with you, amen, and help you sing and hum in your ear. Amen. He's got one purpose, and one purpose alone. He wants to destroy. The Bible said he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Help me preach a little bit. Amen. I want to preach on the devil, something bad on him. Amen. I believe we can have homecoming. We got to kick the devil out. Hey, us and the devil ain't going to link arms and do a little battle down the aisle. It ain't going to work. Brother, the devil ain't going to let you live right. He ain't going to let you worship right. Come on now. He ain't gonna let you do right. Amen. We gotta find out how he's getting in. Well, he's gonna destroy us. He's gonna tear us up. He's gonna burn our field. Come on. Oh, come on. Help me. Praise God. I want to preach to you a little. Amen. You see, while I look at this, and I see where he comes in. The Bible said, while men slept. Isn't it amazing? Oh my. I need to get out here. I'm feeling something out here. I ain't sure what it is. I'm trying to... Praise God. The Bible said, while men slept, the enemy came. Isn't it somehow all of these workers came, have no idea what had happened. Came to the preacher. Came to the Lord of the harvest. Came to the owner of the field and began to point an accusing finger at him and said, hey, did you not plant good seed in this field? Amen. But you know why they didn't know what was going on? When the old enemy was stalking, amen, into the field. Amen. They were sawing Z's. Amen. Come on now. Oh, help me preach a little bit. Amen. Their body was in a relaxed state. Amen. They were in their beds asleep. Amen. With the shades pulled. They didn't have their eyes open. They were not vigilant. Amen. They were not on guard. Amen. They were sleeping. Rock-a-bye baby in the cradle of the devil. Hey, come on now. Woe unto you that are at ease in Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm seeing wrecks and crashes and devouring. I'm seeing churches that were holiness churches become a putrefying, sick, cancer-ridden, leprosy-filled, amen, church with no power, amen, no mission, no character, no conviction, no backbone. Oh, come on. Who did this? Amen. How did it happen? Why are we like we are? We used to have the power. Who did this? It's Brother Collins. Point the finger. Point the finger. God ain't moving like he used to. Point the finger. And I'm going to tell you where it came in. Somebody slept. Amen. Somebody went to sleep. Somebody laid down. Somebody quit praying. Somebody laid the book on the shelf, and the enemy came. I ain't got your attention yet. Or maybe I have. And I'm going to preach to you. And that's in my dream, Brother Andy. I was saying, hey man, I was standing on the platform of that church, and out of the wall of that church came that voice of what I to put as the devil, saying, I'm going to destroy you. I trembled and shook, and my heart was saying, how did he get in here? Praise God, Brother Huff. Amen. The devil, we sing a little song. If I had a mean old fox, if I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. And those are good little old songs for the kids. But the adults grow up, and they still think he's a little horned guy with a pitchfork out pestering people, and he's going to put him in a box. I'm going to tell you something. Hey man, you ain't going to put him in a box. Hey, come on now. How did the devil get in here? He slipped in while people were unaware, while they were sleeping. What was it? Hey man, what was it? The man whose vineyard, hey man, was so messed up and the walls had fell down, and it said a little sleep, a little slumber. I feel the Holy Ghost. A little folding of the hands to sleep. Then comes thy poverty. Why are we in such poverty? Why do we have to have the fanciest song? Why do we have to have the dynamite preacher? Why do we have to have some emotional charge to get in and worship God? I'll tell you why. We're so rotten lazy, and we fell asleep, and we're dozing on the porch while the devil tiptoes into the field and destroys our children and destroys our service and destroys our church and rips our life out. And we say, how did he get in? I don't know why I feel like preaching to you like I do. And I'm going to preach on how did the devil get in here. Whoa. Praise God. Amen. Proverbs 7 said in the twilight. The dimness of the evening. The most dangerous time to be on the highway. In the twilight. It's not dark. And it's not light. It's the twilight. That's where you are. Huh? Oh, that's where you are. It's not dark. And it's not light. It's twilight. It's fence riding. It's don't judge me. It's that old fashioned way. It's tickling the world and trying to hold Jesus' hand in the twilight, in the darkness, in the blackness. God, if you'll help me, I'll preach it. Amen. There he went down. The Bible said, the simple one, void of understanding. Do you know what that tells me? Amen. A voidness of understanding. There's a sleepiness. There's a lethargy. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me. Amen. I'm not ready to give up on the church. I'm not ready to just let it go to hell. I'm not ready to give up on people. I'm not ready to turn it over, amen, to the charismatic hoopla. I'm not ready to throw the holiness message in the dirt. I believe that's still the only way. I believe that's the power of God. I believe if we don't do it, amen, while we're sleeping, while we're dozing, while we're indifferent, amen, while we relax, while the twilight comes, amen, the devil will pull us out, and we'll think we're right when we're not right at all. And we'll wake up one day, how did I get so far from God? How did I get these things in my house? How do I look like this? I wish some of you go home and look in the mirror and say, how have I come to this? I don't think we understand. Amen. That devil got in a little child and it said it threw him and tossed him on the ground, cast him into the fire. Brother, the devil ain't gonna, amen, he ain't gonna let it go easy. Amen, he's gonna claw you. He's gonna scar you. Young girl, he's gonna take your virtue. He's gonna mock you. Hey, come on now. Amen, come on, mom and dad. Amen, if you get the devil in your house. Can I preach this? I, you tell things away from home, but you wouldn't tell at home because of the fragileness of the situation. Amen. But one of the finest men in our church the other night, him and his wife, 3:30 in the morning. He testified to it last night. 3:30 in the morning. He's got a 17-year-old son that had the Holy Ghost and the power of God would use him. And he backslid. Amen. And he's in that home. And he's doing things, amen, and he has allowed, and he and himself has brought the things of the devil into that holiness household. You hear me preaching now? I'm preaching on how did the devil get in here. Amen. 3:30 in the morning, this brother in our church woke up. He was smothering something in his chest. He could not get his breath. He could not move one fiber of his being. He knew it was the power of the enemy, Brother Shad. Amen. And he was trying his best to call the name of Jesus. Amen. And he couldn't get it out. And I know, I witness in my soul right now that this actually was a fact and it did happen. Amen. And so he began, as he began to try to call Jesus' name, his wife in her sleep began to cry out and scream and cry and sob in her sleep. She said, I knew I was crying. I knew my heart was broke. I knew the power of the enemy was there, but I could not bring myself awake. And so in her sleep, she cried out and she screamed out, and he was laying there trying to move and couldn't move, couldn't breathe. He thought he was dying. His door was open and he knew the powers of hell had walked into his bedroom. And finally, amen, he called Jesus' name. Amen. Come on now, help me preach a little. Amen. And when he finally called Jesus' name, amen, he left that room and he went soundly asleep, only to wake early in the morning to realize what had happened to him. Amen. Let me preach to you a little bit. Amen. There was a man that backslid. Amen. In our church. Amen. And was missing and gone. Amen. And backslid. And the devil, when he backslid, amen, the devil came right into his life. Amen. He lost his mind. Amen. He was with a big corporation. Amen. And he was out of town. And he lost it. And when he lost it, he left the motel room where they were staying. Nobody knew it. He was walking down the four lane. 2 days later, when they finally found him, I wish you'd help me preach a little. Amen. Hey, the state police found him. I went to him several 100 miles away. Amen. He didn't know me. He couldn't speak. He had walked the roads till his feet were nothing but blisters and hamburger looking meat. Amen. He could not speak. Amen. The doctors, amen, would not allow me to go back and see him. They said he is preoccupied with religion right now, and that is his problem. Amen. And I said, sir, amen, that is not his problem. That is his cure. Amen. But they barred me from going in. So his wife sent him out immediately when they would not let the preacher in. She said, "Will you allow him to leave in my presence?" And he said, "Gladly, sign the dotted line." I rode in the ambulance with that man. Are you going to help me preach a little? I rode in the ambulance with that man. Amen. To Knoxville, Tennessee. Amen. And on to Bristol. Amen. And then he about died in that ambulance. Still could not speak. Amen. Still could not function. Would only suffer when he walked. Amen. I hope you'll help me preach. Amen. As we went under the corridor, underground corridor, he lost his breath. He turned blue and began to choke. Amen. And we were running. Me and the nurse, amen, was running with the gurney there, amen, to get him into an emergency room. As he looked and fastened his eyes upon me, amen, I saw the eyes of the one that had him by the throat, and I began to rebuke him, amen, in Jesus' name. I began to fight. I began to war. I'm telling you, the devil is an enemy. He is a foe, and we are treating him like a Boy Scout, amen, like a first cousin. We're playing with his things. We're taking them into our house. We are promoting his things, and we are helping in his kingdom when we compromise our standard. And then you look around and wonder why we have premarital sex, and why we have drugs in the wholeness movement, why we have gays and lesbians. I'll tell you why. We've let the devil in because we got so sorry. We fell asleep in the house of God. We ran that man to that room. I screamed at him and I said, "You're going to have to call on Jesus' name." And he began, there he had on his chart. They said he is incomparable. He doesn't understand anything. He cannot communicate. This male nurse had his chart trying to find what medicine to give him and what to help. And when he did, finally this man said, "Jesus." And when he said that, his face, the color came back. His breathing got normal. Tears began to roll down his face. That male nurse looked up from his clipboard. Just me and him in there. He said, "Preacher, it says here he cannot communicate." And he smiled a big old snaggletooth smile and said, "That sounds like communication to me." Huh? Are you here? Come here, come here, come here. Come up here. I want to talk some serious stuff to you here tonight. You're playing with the devil. You hear me? Hey, come on now. When we go to sleep and we allow him to tiptoe into our field, one of these days you're going to finally wake up when the fruit is on the vine and you realize we've lost the holiness way. We've lost the power and demonstration of the true spirit of Almighty God. We've lost that tenderness on our altars. Where's the tears on this altar? Where's the soul-saving revival? I'll tell you, when we lay down, amen, and become indifferent and begin to sleep and slumber, amen, the enemy came. And that's how he gets in. I hope you'll stay on the wagon here like it done. I'm preaching to you. Praise God. He comes for one purpose: to kill, steal, and destroy. Whole families, marriages, character, values,
right,
convictions,
right,
faithfulness, destroyed. This new modern church world, and many of our holiness churches somehow or another seen, I don't know, somewhere, how this new liberal Pentecostalism's worshiping, and they try to do it just like.
Yeah.
I wish you'd take a good long look at the fruit of that and see if that's what you want. Well, come on now. You're not helping this preacher tonight, and I really need your help tonight. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I've been to those churches where they had holiness banners in their church, hunger for holiness, and the preacher's wife's skirt was so short, she bent over to whisper in his ear, and I ducked my head in embarrassment rather than see her undergarments. And I know that's a little plain for the tape ministry. Amen. But that's exactly what happened. Amen. And then they say they hunger for holiness. Amen. That loose liberal, amen, backslid, devil-possessed bunch. Amen. I tell you, we need to get a little backbone, and we need to find out how the devil got in. And I'm going to tell you how he rides in. He rides in when good people do nothing. Amen. And let some liberal mess, amen, take over the platform while we fold our hands and smile and say we got to love one another. We don't have to love the devil. And we need to cast him out. And we need to come on now. Amen. We need to do it in a hurry before the seeds grow up and we lose our movement. Praise God. Come on now. Anybody helping this preacher preach? How did the devil get in here? How did he get in here? I was studied as a boy. Amen. I studied about, amen, the war. Where they, one side, the Greeks, amen, I believe, built a wooden horse, Brother Chad, amen, and called the Trojan horse. And they couldn't penetrate the wall. Amen. They couldn't go over the wall. They couldn't get in at all. Amen. So they built this wooden horse. And all the soldiers climbed in it. I don't know if it's a fact or just a myth. Amen. But it makes a good point right here. As I preach to you, how did the devil get in? Amen. He couldn't walk right in. He has to come at night. He has to come undercover. He has to come in disguise. And can I tell you, he's got some mighty powerful disguises today. Amen. And that's how he's getting in. He's disguising himself as an angel of light. That means a preacher of the gospel. He disguises himself as a holiness preacher. But his hair is too long. He's too liberal. He wears gold on his hand. Amen. That's an imposter. He's not the real thing. Oh, come on now. Amen. He's got smooth words, but he don't walk straight. I want to tell you, it's the devil in disguise. He wears a disguise. He always has. If he come walking in here tonight, it would convert this whole crowd. If he walked in the form he really is, they'd run to Christ so fast, it'd probably make your head swim. So he don't run in like that. He disguises himself. And down our way, I don't know how it is in Miami Valley here. I haven't been in this area much. But down home, they'll smooth up to my people and they'll say, I love you. I love you. Huh? And they'll say, you don't have to live that way. And they'll say it's legalism. And they'll brag on them. This is what I hate. My nature is not to brag on people real much. You know, I mean, it's just, I love people and I like to give honor where it's due. But, you know, bragging and flattering. Amen. My pastor, Brother Ralph Horton, told me that when I was a young preacher, he said, you got to watch this flattery, son. He said, it's like perfume. It's good to smell of, but don't swallow it. Huh? So I want to tell you, if this new crowd is telling you how much they love you, I'm going to tell you, brethren, some of these preachers tell your wife how much they love them.
You better step in there real quick. Come on now. I'm not getting a lot of help here in the Holy Church tonight. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, the devil comes in when we're sleeping. And sometimes we're wide awake. But he's in disguise so well. Hey, man, come on now. Come on now. You got to be careful. I remember when I first took a Holiness Church and some singers came one night. And an old brother had been there a long time came up to me. Said, did you see the singing so-and-so's come in tonight? And I said, yes. They're great singers. Yes, sir. Why don't you get them up? No, sir. Why not? I said, did you see them big green ear bobs in that woman's ear?
Right.
And he looked like he's looking through his bifocals. And he just stomped off. So we're quiet in the house, God, tonight. I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something here. I'm trying to tell you something. I wish I could tell you something. I need to tell you something. Are you going to listen? Praise God, the devil comes in disguise. Amen. He disguises him as a brother, as a sister. He'll disguise himself as a great preacher. Amen. One preacher, amen, said the people thought he was the mighty power of God. What was his name?
Simon.
And you know what old Peter said to him? Your heart's not right with God. Well, and that's what we, instead of petting them and pampering them and trying to win them to the Lord, so to speak, and win them over to our side. And I believe that's part of it. Don't you get me wrong. I believe we've got to be kind to people. Amen. But we also need to watch and not let a devil in disguise come among the sheep. Amen. A wolf in sheep's clothing that don't preach right, live right, believe right, think right. But we've got to recognize that's how the devil gets in. Make no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Oh, I don't understand it, brother. He preached and so thousand got saved, or so many hundred got saved. Amen. I just don't understand. He's got to be of God, don't he? Amen. It's quiet in here. Why is it so quiet in here? Usually when I say it's quiet in here, the pastor comes to me after the church and says, they're listening. I hope that's the case tonight. I'm preaching on the devil has got in. I want to ask you honestly tonight, how many agree with me the devil has got in? I don't think that's even a question. My question is, how did he get in? How did he get in here? Huh? He got in by disguise. Amen. That's why tonight we need, as a holiness people, to buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. In the Bible it said that people were deceived because they loved not the truth. In my short ministry, I found out there's two reasons why people won't do right. They either don't know the truth or they don't love the truth. Come on now. And I try to be patient as I teach and preach from the Word of God. Amen. Till they know the truth. And God gives grace and He gives us space. We all growed up from babies on. We didn't just pop into this experience as a grown up homeless person. And we're still growing in it. But brother, listen. Amen. You've got to be careful that you do not put up with. And that you do not promote. And you do not cleave to. And you do not accept the very work of Satan, thinking we're doing God a service when all we're doing is opening the door and the devil's coming in. In the book of Job, the devil got in on Job. The Bible said God let down the hedge. Y'all believe in that? That tells me that there's a hedge around God's people. There's a safety ground. A place where God protects us and keeps us. There's a boundary. You know what a hedge is? It's like a fence, like a wall. And that's a wall of protection. A lot of folks say a holiness church, lost people can't get in there. Sure they can. They can come through the gate. Amen. The gate. Jesus is the door. But the problem is they're trying to get over the hedge, over the wall. And that won't work, praise God. We can let them come in the gate. Amen. But that's the way they ought to come in. That's how we got in. But you know what? People's wanting to have such a revival. And instead of just letting them come through the gate, they've started taking that hedge down. And the Bible said he, amen, in Proverbs 25, amen, the Bible said he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. Brother, we're out of control. Our passions, our appetite, our spirits. Amen. My people, amen, they don't take nothing to tick them off and cause them to think passionately and uncontrolled and rebelliously. But brother, whatever happened, amen, the old time sanctification, amen, and dedication and consecration that built the wall up, that kept the devil out and you in, and kept the hedge about you. Amen. How's the devil getting in? We're taking down the hedge. We're taking down the standard. We're taking down that separation that God put there between us and the devil.
Sure.
I don't know about you, and I've got a habit of saying that, but I'll tell you, the more I live, the more I don't know about you. But I'll tell you, I don't like the devil in my house. Huh? The other night in that dream awakening, that power of hell there, and finally in that dream, Sister Collins, I began to resist him in the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Christ. Praise God. I got to preaching yesterday morning on the blood, and I'm telling you, the power of God fell on me. Ooh, I got to preaching on, we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You'd think we were, the way we worship it. Huh? Yes, sir. Praise God. Peter and John said, silver and gold have I. You know how much none is? None. You'd qualify for ever thing in the United States right now if you had none. Huh? That's right. You'd be sitting in style. Them boys in our day, they'd have it made, wouldn't they? If they had none, y'all not with me now. Praise God, but they had none. Silver and gold have I none. Amen. Praise God. Who was the man of God that came in and was showed the treasures, and he looked at this preacher, was it Martin Luther? And he said, and the man looked at him when he showed all the gold and silver in the house of God, and he said, no longer can we say, silver and gold have I none. And he looked at him and said, right, and no longer can we say, take up thy bed and walk. It's sure quiet in the church. Praise God, I'm going to preach to you a little. Praise God, we need some reinforcement against the power of hell. And I tell you, we're not going to do it in the offering plate. Come on now. We're not going to do it, amen, with talent and entertainment. Amen. We're not going to put a picture on the screen and say, boo, devil, and scare him out of the door. Amen. We're going to have to get Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ. He, brother, that all the devils believe and tremble. They said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know. But who are you? That's what I'm asking tonight. Who are you? Are we able to put the devil to flight? Can we resist him? Can we come against him? Can we snatch our people out of his grasp? I believe we can by the authority of the Son of God.
I like, brother, what Jesus said to him when Pilate looked at him and said, don't you know I have power to crucify you? Jesus looked at him and said, you have no power over me at all. I want you to tell Pilate tonight with me, you have no power over me at all. Brother Rick, our people is in such bondage, we cannot go up and say, please, devil, turn them loose. We're going to have to fight like I did for that man in that corridor of that hospital. And I said, if you can save Jesus, if you can... Oh, come on, church. Where's the power of the Pentecostal Holiness Church today to rise up and say to Satan, get thee behind me. Hey, come on now. Hey, man, how's he got in? Well, I've tried to point out some ways he got in. How are we going to get him out? We're going to show him the door. And in the name of the Son of God and the power of Him and the Holy Ghost, amen, and the Bible, we're going to cast him out of their movement, out of their life, out of their home. Friday night I was preaching
in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. An old man, Brother Lowry, brought in from the nursing home. Old man, Brother Collins, about 75, looked like. They got there a little late. He walked into church. Everybody was seated. Little church yard was about full. The old man was on a cane.